This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Lacked coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM, WMDX. Take it away, boys.
All right.
Okay. 6 minutes past the hour.
Another beautiful day.
It is. Yes. Cloudy. It's going to be raining later. We need the rain.
Yeah, we need that.
Going to get the rain tonight and maybe some thunderstorms late night tonight and into early tomorrow morning for Halloween. We've got a special Halloween show tomorrow.
We do, actually. we do.
Do we?
We've got Halloween songs in and out of our breaks.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be broadcasting from the deep recesses of this building.
That's right.
Somewhere.
A secret location.
That's right.
And we're getting more texts here. You can text us on the Civic Media app anytime, and or use your phone, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. We got a long text there, John. Can you skim through that?
That's from our telephone program director.
Yeah. Oh,
what? The election is less than a week away, and there are a ton of stories to discuss.
Yeah.
How about getting rid of the fluff until after the election? You know, things like the National Day calendar and the roulette wheel, etc., so we can have some good content. Ask yourself this. Do successful political YouTube channels do that shtick every day?
No.
Even Stephanie Miller keeps the lighter stuff topical. Oh. Try it. You might like it.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
He loves to hate us, but at least he tunes in every day.
Exactly.
I don't know.
You know, every day.
Saying thank you, 1701,
whoever you are. He's missed a few really beautiful stories, wonderful observations during the national calendar. We have a tendency not to stay focused.
Well, it's just the warm-up.
So we
to
skip
the
around
show.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's just getting us going. Yeah. John, we have somebody on the John and Gordy hotline here.
We do. Okay.
Todd or Billy is on the phone with a question or a comment. Good morning, Todd or Billy.
He still hasn't decided.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, and happy anniversary, guys.
Well, thank you.
You guys are on the radio. You're informative and fun, and definitely top three, right? Is that what you think?
Top three is decided by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
That's right. We came in third
as insanity.
The best morning show.
Voted that to us. That's actually true. Yeah,
absolutely. So you were talking about that Harris is more popular on the issues, and I heard some alarming information recently about, I'm going to use the wrong term, I think it's something like ballot drop-off, but of course, ballot drop-off is putting your absentee ballot in a drop box, but it refers to the idea that people fill out the top of their ballot and leave other parts of it blank, and especially Democrats have a tendency to do that, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, to be honest with you, freaks me out. And it's really important that people take just a few minutes and educate themselves about their ballot, go to myvotewisconsin.gov or whatever and find out what's on their ballot and make decisions before they go vote, because for three reasons. One is, we finally have competitive districts here in Wisconsin, so we got to pay attention and vote up and down the ballot because we can actually win a few more this time. The other is that our school funding formula in Wisconsin is broken, and because of that, schools are forced to ask for support from their communities, and people need to pay attention to the referenda and support them. And then finally, the Republicans always try and sneak something weird in terms of an amendment onto our ballot. So people really need to pay attention. So if you're really going to support those policies that are more popular, we got to vote up and down the ballot, not leave stuff blank, not leave our voice silent on certain issues.
Right. On that issue of the amendment, definitely vote no on that. It's just going to require birth certificates every time we go out and try and vote. So they could use that as an excuse. Obviously, I heard that you can take your ballot in to the city clerk and drop it off there instead of a ballot box. But the other thing is, in De Pere, I believe, that city clerk says they're not going to accept those ballots.
There's some local restrictions
that they can do. They have the option to do that, which is very odd and strange. I haven't been able to look up the actual law on this. So, Todd, Billy, enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you for the call, and we love having you on as a guest.
Yep, we appreciate it. And again,
very good points.
Thank you.
Very good
points. You did warn me about people like you.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, man.
Thanks. Myvote.wy.gov is the place to go. And I'll, by the way, Tuesday, you know, this coming Tuesday, Civic Media's election night special coverage begins at 6 p.m. And as the results will be rolling in, we'll have Civic Media reporters and hosts with all the information you need to know. So again, election night coverage begins at 6 p.m.
I got to remind people that when you hear the story about the drop boxes being on fire,
right?
Vancouver is the one that you see over and over again where the drop box is just on flames. But it actually is a unique situation because they have packets inside these lock boxes.
Right.
And anytime there's a flame or something hot in that drop box, that packet will go off, suffocate whatever that flame or heat source is.
Okay.
And it'll protect all of the ballots inside. And all the drop boxes have this. But Vancouver, the packets that they had in there were defective.
They malfunctioned.
They weren't very good.
They didn't work.
Yeah, they're going to get a whole bunch of new packets for their drop boxes. So it's really not a problem. So don't worry about the drop boxes.
Okay.
All right. I just wanted to let people know. A lot of the stories about this drop box being on fire, they're not mentioning that there's a flame retardant inside these drop boxes. All right.
Right.
Just to let everybody know. Now let's get to the big event.
Oh, the big story. Kamala at the Ellipse.
Yes.
Last night. Wow, what an appearance that was. What a great night.
Yes, the estimate was 75,000.
Right.
Appeared, right?
Yeah.
And according to the House Select Committee tasked with investigating January 6th, they estimated only 53,000 people attended Trump's rally.
Uh-huh.
That he sent off to the Capitol. So
Kamala had a great big rally, and his was relatively small.
Trounced him, basically.
Because we know that's important.
Absolutely.
To him.
That's right. Yeah. Let's play a cut, one of the great cuts from her speech last night, 270. Let's listen to that, right?
America, for too long, we have been consumed with too much division, chaos, and mutual distrust. And it can be easy then to forget a simple truth. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. It is time to stop pointing fingers. We have to stop pointing fingers and start locking arms. It is time to turn the page on the drama and the conflict. The fear and division. It is time for a new generation of leadership in America.
Yes, indeed.
And I am ready to offer that leadership as the next president of the United States of America.
I've got goosebumps. That's fantastic. What a great idea. And, you know, Trump had his own message.
Really?
Let's check out what Trump had to say. 271. Let's hear it.
Would you rather have the black president or the white president who got $1.7 billion off the price? I think they want the white guy now.
There you go.
Wow. Jeez.
That's his closing statement. By the way, you know, the rally at Madison Square Garden was just an absolute disaster, right? And
oh, yeah.
There's an editorial here from the USA Today, and I love this this first paragraph. At Donald Trump's racist, hate-filled Madison Square Garden rally this weekend, the Republican Party got a look at rock bottom. The American voters got a glimpse of the babbling hell that awaits them if Trump wins re-election next week. Hell. The babbling hell. Yeah, I'm with him on that. That's great stuff. All right.
We're getting some more texts here, John. Okay. This one from Gary says, reminder to young people 18 and older that if you're not familiar with the other races on the ballot, it is okay just to mark the ones that you can.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to jump in earlier when Todd or Billy was on the phone.
Yeah.
You could just bring your phone up to the little booth, and if you should look at the races ahead of time and figure out who's going to be on the ballot. But you're going to have your phone in your pocket with you. If you really don't know who somebody is on the ballot, you can just look them up right then and there.
Technology.
Yeah. You don't need to just guess or leave it blank.
Right. It's a good idea.
You know, Don out there in Forest says, John and Gordy, I second that emotion.
What?
Leave the fluff on the cutting room floor.
Cut the fluff?
All right,
really?
That's it. Okay.
We'll see. We can't have a little one-year anniversary here. And have a little fun along the way.
I think this is fantastic to get input.
Get everybody's input. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. No, maybe
fine.
We should...
You're going to become a pollster now, aren't you?
Cut the fluff.
You like hearing what people want to...
Cut the fluff. They were a big band at Woodstock. They opened for Hendrix right before the whole thing
that
went
was
down.
My first band. Yeah. Thank you.
Cut the fluff. Cut the fluff.
How about... this is a great bit on CNN. I love this thing.
Okay.
You know, everybody's talking... Well, I don't know if we have time for this. Actually, we don't. But I'm going to mention this.
Okay.
They interviewed a lot of people of Puerto Rican descent.
Yes.
And they were interviewing, what do you think about this thing that happened at Madison Square Garden? And a few of the people had already voted early for Trump. And now they're regretting their vote. Mm. And they can't take it back. Mm. After that event, they completely changed their minds.
Wow.
Not good.
No.
Why don't they just make Puerto Rico and, you know, just let's
make it a state.
Let's add all the states that we need to add at this point. Okay, D.C. Sure. And whatever. We just need, we need them all.
Yeah.
All right?
Get them all in there.
The only reason they're not adding them is simply because they think we're going to add more Democratic legislators.
Yeah. Republicans
Congress people.
Yeah. They always block that, yeah.
And that's not the reason why we should prevent them from becoming states.
Right. Yeah. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Mike McCabe will join us, Substack blogger and author.
Yes.
And what do we have coming up next, John?
We've got Dana Bash.
Yes.
Setting the record straight. You know, Trump tried to whitewash the event at Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
We'll find out what happens.
Brittany Merlot right around the corner with an update on the weather on 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's raining.
It is raining. This was supposed to hold off until this afternoon. Suddenly, we're getting a little downpour.
We have a downpour in Madison on State Street as we overlook it near the Capitol.
Oh, man.
With John and Gordy in the morning show.
Is this going to interfere with throwing the balls off of the top of the roof?
Looks like we can't do it now.
Are we going to get struck by lightning if we go up to the roof?
Man, I don't know.
You know, with this sudden rain shower, we better check with our meteorologist to find out what's actually going on. And we have Brittany Merlot on the line right now. You can also see Brittany if you're watching it on X or on Facebook or on YouTube. Yeah.
Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, good.
We're doing okay, but now we've got rain. I wasn't expecting this until maybe later today. So what's happening? Give us the latest.
What is going on, right?
Know.
Well, you do have chances for these spotty showers here this morning. And so does the very, very northern part of the state. So that was just a little, we didn't really care to tell you guys about the morning. It was so small of a chance.
Right? All right.
Yeah, so this system is going to be slowly moving through the state today. So definitely by the afternoon, we're going to see some chances for some stronger showers and storms potentially, because we're looking at an air mass that's about 30-degree temperature difference.
Wow.
Slamming into these, right? Yeah. So if you take that and you slam it into these record warm overnight lows, which we're hitting once again today. I mean, we've been sitting in 24 hours of pure record warmth, basically, across the state.
Yeah. These were record temperatures, weren't they?
They sure were.
I'm not going to even sleep last night.
Not only just the afternoon highs. I couldn't either.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't.
It's so hot.
Really?
It's too hot.
Okay.
It's way too hot.
And it even felt eerie just last night and this morning being outside. It just doesn't feel right. It's too warm.
I agree.
So Halloween is tomorrow. Are the trick-or-treaters going to get wet, or is this all going to be gone by that?
You know, with the asteroid going by, I suppose.
What?
I know, right?
Yeah.
These magnetic fields. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, we're going to see that heavy rain throughout this evening and through the overnight. It does want to kick on out of here by late morning for Madison. So it's good news, great news. But if you guys look up north, it's going to be snowing way up here.
That's good news for us.
Okay. It is. You're staying dry and beautiful, but the only thing is you got to battle those winds. They're going to be whipping up to about 40 to 45 miles per hour out of the north tomorrow evening. Okay. Yeah, quickly dropping our temperatures. So trick-or-treaters, bundle up.
Wait, the winds are tonight or tomorrow?
They're both. They're today out of the south, up to 40 miles per hour, and then tomorrow, throughout the afternoon and evening, they'll be out of the north. So the cold one will be tomorrow.
Do I hear some chirping in the background there?
Yeah, the tick, cricket or something?
Is it me?
It must be you.
Is there a bird in your house, Brittany?
There better not be. Okay. I've got problems.
All right.
The windows are open, so you never know.
That might be it, yeah.
You know, we're celebrating our first anniversary of being on the air here today, Brittany. And one of the great things that we've had lately is interplanetary weather. Do you feel like doing that today?
Just some form of it.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Let's do like an asteroid belt or something. I feel like we've all done most of the planets, right? Yeah.
Asteroid belt? Okay. All right. Pick one. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I've never asked you guys. What is your guess?
An asteroid.
Like the temperature on an asteroid in the asteroid belt?
Yeah.
Well, minus 350 degrees.
I'm going to say minus 720.
Actually, you guys are overdoing it. It's only minus 100.
What?
That's all?
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
Or we stand corrected. Thank you.
Yeah, but we've got back braces.
Warmer than you think, right?
We're wrong again.
Okay.
We're warmer everywhere.
Yep.
What was our interplanetary jingle?
Well, I thought you were going to, you didn't give me a chance at the beginning, and I thought you were going to say at the end, this is another edition of
Interplanetary Weather.
All right, there you go.
These are important things. Okay.
They are.
Thank you, Brittany. We hope you enjoy the day.
Yeah. All right.
And we appreciate it.
Stay dry.
All right. We'll try.
Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist. Okay.
All right. Now let's get to Dana Bash correcting Trump, who's trying to revise the history of Madison Square Garden.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Just like he did. And by the way, he's using the same line that he used for January 6th.
It's a love fest. People loved it.
Yeah, you got to check this out. 265, this is Dana Bash correcting Trump. But first, you're going to hear Trump.
I don't think anybody has ever seen anything like what happened the other night at Madison Square Garden. The love.
That's what I felt.
The love in that room. It was breathtaking. And you could have filled it many, many times with the people that were unable to get in. But politicians that have been doing this for a long time, 30 and 40 years, said there's never been an event so beautiful. It was like a love fest, an absolute love fest. And it was my honor to be involved. And hopefully, you know, they started to say, well, in 1939, the Nazis used Madison Square Garden. Well, and you know what? But can you imagine that?
No,
1939,
I can't.
The Nazis.
I can't imagine it. No.
But But how terrible to say, right? Because, you know, they've used Madison Square Garden many times. Many people have used it, but nobody's ever had a crowd like that.
No.
And I tell you what, right now, nobody's ever had love like that. That was love in the room, and it was love for our country.
It's absolute love for hatred.
Thanks for explaining
that. 7 days
out,
when you're effectively saying, I am not a Nazi, it's not exactly the place where your campaign wants to be. And I just want to really fact check here. Just like he did about January 6th, he's trying to rewrite and tell us what we saw with our own eyes did not happen. It was not full of love, except for him. There was a lot of love for Donald Trump there. But if you are Kamala Harris, effectively called a prostitute, no. If you are somebody who is African-American and somebody made a watermelon joke, not funny, no. No love for you. If you are a Latino, particularly somebody who is Puerto Rican, certainly no love for you. Jews, no love for you. And I could go on and on and on from multiple speakers at that very big rally.
Yep. It's a love fest. Love for hate.
Dana Bash.
And it's hard to imagine her doing that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, she's more or less an anchor without an opinion.
Right. Yeah.
But went on and just, you know, proved it over and over and again that obviously Trump is trying to revise history.
Yes.
And make it sound like some kind of love fest, just as January 6th was a love fest as well, a love fest for hatred and just, you know.
Yeah, all of that. The John and Gordy love fest continues.
Oh, yeah.
One-year anniversary today. Mike McCabe in the building. He's coming up next on 92.7 WMDX.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Wine, the only fancy French wine sold in a handy resealable cardboard carton, 49 cents a quart or 89 cents a gallon. Sure, you pay a few pennies more, but it's worth it.
It is. 92.7. WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
You got it. 67 degrees, some scattered showers this morning, and more rain and thunderstorms on the way this afternoon and this evening. The high about 71, and we welcome Mike McCabe into the studio. Good morning, Mike.
As we do each and every Wednesday morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good to have you here on our big celebration. We have banana bread.
Yeah, it's in the coffee room.
Which, so. Outstanding.
By the way, you can eat it while you're talking as well. It's not a big deal. You know, Sam doesn't mind.
John, you want the show to sound like...
He'll clean it up when it's rebroadcast.
Yeah, he's got to vacuum up all the crumbs afterwards and clean off the counter.
Oh, man.
Okay.
You know, I was reading your Substack articles, and you were you posted something on your library appearance, right? Tell us about that. For your new book.
Well, I had an event up in La Crosse.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At a bookstore, an independent bookstore called Pearl Street Books.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Some people came with book in hand. They already had purchased it, but wanted to come and talk about it. And we had a wonderful discussion. And I managed to get through the entire discussion with no real spoilers. You know, people were curious. Some had not read it at all and bought it at the bookstore.
Yeah.
And some people were partway through, and one guy had read the whole thing.
Wow.
And so I had a variety of people in the audience and had to try to describe the book without spoiling it for anybody, and I managed to do that.
I'm a little more than halfway through, and I'm really enjoying it. And you had mentioned a few things about the book beforehand, about some of this is, you know, it's fictionalized, but kind of accounts from your childhood. I mean, you've kind of combined some characters from your from your growing up years, and it's really good. I got to say, I'm really taken by this.
Did the guy who read the entire book give anything away when he talked to you at the library?
He was good. No, he didn't. You know, and
shuffled him out.
He was in the front row. He was right in front of me, so I could have kicked him or something if he had strayed
a
little bit too much. But he was good. And in fact, because he had read the whole thing, the owner of the bookstore, you know, got up and welcomed people and introduced me, but then asked him if he wanted to say a few words, and he made some very very kind remarks about what he had read and didn't give away endings or anything like that. So it was all good.
Read a passage, right? As everybody does during one of these events.
And it's devilishly difficult to choose a passage in a novel that gives people a flavor for the story.
Yeah, I bet it's hard to pick one out.
But
right?
Doesn't give anything away. So some of the more dramatic passages that I could read and that, you know, I'm tempted to read would reveal too much, and then it would spoil the reading experience.
I would think that kind of pulling it out of context, and it wouldn't make much sense, right?
That's true. Because a lot of the stuff later in the book, it would be out of context if you read a passage, but you didn't know any of the backstory. Yeah.
So what you did was just kind of skip through the book, you know, read one line here, one line there. Put it together later, folks. It's a jigsaw puzzle.
I actually read a little bit from chapter 2 and give people a sense of place where the story is set.
It's called Miracles Along County Q, and we have a comment here. It says, "Hi, John and Gordy and Mike. I'm reading the book and love it. I think it would make a great movie. There's 46 people in the waiting list for it at the Madison Library."
How about that?
That's pretty fantastic. Cool.
Well, you know, and if anybody knows a filmmaker, put a good word in, you know. I'm not going to worry about movie rights. I just want to... I did this to preserve the written word, and I'm enjoying having people experience it in writing.
Well, it's kind of, it's a novel about growing up in the country in a small town, really out in the country, very rural. Mm-hmm. And the way you paint the pictures in this book of the scenery and the atmosphere, and it's just really, and you really define the characters really well and the storyline. It's all great.
Terrific to hear.
Some people have compared it to J.D. Vance's. I'm not just kidding.
My response to Hillbilly Elegy.
Yeah.
That's right. Not every small town story is like that. No.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, you were talking to a bunch of people. Did any of it get into the politics of your background?
Interestingly, people wanted to talk more about the writing process, and they wanted to talk about where the ideas came from, and then how I decided to write it the way I wrote it, and so the discussion was not about politics at all. It was, and here we are, days away from an incredibly pivotal election, and people didn't go there at all. They didn't want to talk politics. The book's not about politics. It's really a portrait of a small town and the people in that town, and more than anything, it goes to show that small towns are not monolithic, and the people that populate small towns are not monolithic. There's variety there, and there's sort of a caste system there. There are people. It's very, society's stratified in rural communities just the way it is everywhere else, and then that creates some real challenges.
So no protesters in front of the library.
There were no protesters in front of the library. And if you've never been to, for people who know lacrosse but have never been to Pearl Street Books. It's right downtown, and it is a wonderful bookstore. Mm-hmm. Independent bookstore, but over 40,000 books on the shelves. And
wow.
And it looks like it's out of the 1920s. It's just such a vintage spot and one of my favorites.
Now, do you have any Madison appearances?
I do.
Lined up?
Actually, in a week from today,
okay.
I'll be at Mystery to Me bookstore on Monroe Street starting at 6 p.m. So I'm going to do what I did in La Crosse right here in Madison.
Day after the election. Yeah.
The day after election, the election. And so it's going to be a lot more challenging in Madison the day after the election for the conversation not to stray to the politics of the moment. It didn't happen in La Crosse, but boy, it's going to be hard to ward that off in Madison.
It is. It's going to be really tough. Well, let's get into a little bit of that now, the politics. Your recent Substack article, Gloom's Kryptonite, pretty much, you know, a comparison between a Trump vision of the world and Kamala Harris's vision of the world. And Kamala's is the joy and counter to the doom and gloom that we're hearing, like at Madison Square Garden recently.
I'm glad you drew that out of the article that I wrote, because I was driving into the studio this morning listening to you guys, and it sounded like a consensus had emerged among listeners that you needed to cut the fluff and what was the term, the focus on the what was the term, the something hell?
Oh yes.
Sam, do you have it?
Hellscape.
The rambling hell or the babbling hell or the...
That was about Trump. Trump's babbling hell.
That's right. An editorial in the USA Today.
And I thought, wow, you know, my Substack article might not be in the spirit of the consensus of listeners that we need to cut the fluff. I'm glad you drew those lessons out of the article, John.
I did. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, but kryptonite is a bad thing for Superman.
I think we all remember that.
Okay.
But maybe the younger ones don't.
Yeah. Well, Gen Z, Mr. Gen Z, did you know?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, all right.
It's like a generic thing.
Okay. Very generic. But, yeah, why don't you explain some of that?
You know, the article's really about hope and the power of hope.
That's right. Hope and joy.
You know, there are lots of reasons for despair, and I recite a number of them at the beginning of the article. I go through a list of reasons for despair, but I am an optimist by nature. But one of the points I make in the article is optimism and hope are not the same thing, and optimism alone is not enough to ward off despair, but hope can. Hope is despair's kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our capacity for hope is being tested right now, but also will be tested probably harshly in the days after the election, regardless of the outcome. And we may not know the outcome for a while. We're going to be tested as a society, and our ability to remain hopeful in what is a pretty dark time in American politics is crucial, because, you know, that's what will save us is our capacity for hope. You know, I talk a little bit in the article about how optimism does differ from hope, and shared a quote. And I don't have it in front of me, so I won't recite it. But Václav Havel was a political prisoner in Czechoslovakia, what was then Czechoslovakia. And he became head of state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He rose to power and after being a political prisoner, and he talked about how optimism and hope are not the same thing, and the deeper the turmoil, the deeper the problems, the more powerful the hope has to be. But it's what saw him through very dark times in his country, and that allowed him to emerge as a statesman and a leader, and eventually the elected head of state of his country, because he was able to keep hope alive.
Well, it seems like hope is the last desperate measure. You know, optimism, you've got a plan. Hope is that one thing that keeps you hanging on.
Well, you know, Optimism isn't so much a plan as it's the belief that things are going to turn out okay, that, that things are going to go well. Hope is deeper because, as Havel said, regardless of how things may turn out, hope is what can still get you to the better place eventually. So you don't have hope because you expect things to turn out well, because you expect a good outcome. You have hope because what you believe in, what that hope is rooted in, is worth it regardless. And that's, to me, that's
there
the key point.
That's it.
What you root your hope in, the beliefs, the core values that that hope is rooted in, need to be so valuable that you believe in them regardless of whether they are triumphant in any given moment. And that is what will see us through. Is our if we cling to something, let's cling to what we think America should be and what values we think our country should be rooted in. That's what we should be hopeful about.
Talking with author Mike McCabe and Substack blogger, as you look at what we're looking at here for the next week, I mean, what should we keep in mind as we go through this and looking beyond next Tuesday, no matter what the outcome is, other than hope? Are you optimistic at this point, too?
You know, I guess I would really say I'm not optimistic. I'm hopeful. And I don't know what's going to happen. So it's not like I can be optimistic in the sense that I expect a good outcome. I have no idea how this thing's going to turn out. I know that it's going to give us heart murmurs right to the final day.
Tell me about it.
It's going to be pins and needles through the election and perhaps beyond election day. I know that, and it's an incredibly unnerving moment because it's so pivotal. Our country's at such a critical turning point. We can go in a positive direction. We can go in a very dark direction. And so it's really a pivotal election, and we're going to be on pins and needles. So it's hard to be optimistic at such a moment because how can you expect a good outcome?
Yeah.
But hey, you know, I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll be back with more with Mike McCabe on John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX, walk, don't run to the polls.
Yeah, we were just talking about early voting.
Yeah.
And I voted a few days ago, and I think there's record early voting turnout so far. It's quite a lot.
I forget who said it yesterday, but in our company-wide meeting yesterday, just for the city of Baraboo, somebody said that the turnout was already like 25%, which is insane.
Yeah. Get out there and vote. And if you need information, you can go to myvote.wi.gov. And, of course, we will have an election night special beginning at 6 o'clock Tuesday evening. And a lot of Civic Media reporters and hosts, in fact, just about everybody will be in on that.
They've got a hell of a setup built downstairs. It's like a TV studio they built, basically.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Down on the first floor.
That's right. I was surprised to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, you should see it. Yeah.
What? Really? You've seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well the night of Charlie
guy over here.
The night of Charlie Parents.
I saw it walking in the door.
Did you?
We got a sneak peek. You never go downstairs.
I never do, no. She'll be down there tomorrow broadcasting the Halloween special.
Oh, yeah.
It did look a little CNN-ish.
That's all right.
Yeah. Wow. Hey. We're going all out for that.
Absolutely. Okay.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening nationwide in the burning of drop boxes. Now, they do.
Yeah. Right.
Drop boxes. Yeah. So, you know, the drop boxes can't really, you can't really slip anything into these very narrow slots. I don't know how anybody is able to do this. Have you noticed that? Because, you know, we had the big drop box, you know, conspiracy theories in this state. We looked at them and I looked at them. We still have that drop box out for bills and other forms of government papers that we can, you know, send to our local clerks. But the thing is, it's such a narrow slot. It's almost impossible to think you could slide anything in that except for a very slim envelope.
Don't you think that ballot drop boxes are really a metaphor for our moment? Here you got different communities. Some
won't take them. Some will.
Banning ballot drop boxes. Others encouraging their use. People fighting over them. Somebody thinking it would be a good idea to try to slip something on fire into the drop box to destroy ballots. You know, it really is a metaphor for what's going on. The distrust, the people being at each other's throats.
Yeah.
And it really goes to show how much work we have ahead of us as a society.
To repair this process.
To just knit together our society. And I am hopeful that our society will knit together eventually.
How do we return trust to the whole electoral process?
That's right. So much damage has been done by people who've told despicable lies and deliberately sown those seeds of mistrust. That's a grievous sin, but it's happened and it's had its effect. And now we've got people
they want to go so far as to get rid of all electronics and count by hand, and every ballot will be written by hand, and every ballot will be counted the day of the election.
Well, the thing is after the last election, that's basically what happened. There was an electronic count, and then there was another electronic count, and then there was hand inspection of ballots, and then it went to court, and judges looked at all of the results and looked at the evidence, and there was so much scrutiny of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, the conclusion reached, even by Trump-appointed judges across the country, was, the outcome was accurate. And so the last election should have been one of those instances where it was reassuring that the system was scrutinized and scrutinized again and again and again, and it went through all kinds of challenges, and it stood up to every challenge.
Right.
Every recount, every legal challenge, every judge's examination of the process— the system held up, and that should have been reassuring. And yet here we are, people thinking, I don't believe that this is accurate.
Right. And there has been some fraud in other states. In fact, one egregious amount of fraud in one state, but that was because of a right winger trying to game the system. At least that is the suspicion so far. He's texted and talked about what he was doing, basically. So it's common knowledge. But the point is that they have made this seem so bad, and the voters themselves now believe that there is no way to fix it, that the system is gamed no matter what we do to it. And each state has their own laws, their own election laws, and communities have their own election laws as well. And it just seems like because of the process of all these different systems out there, there's no way to coordinate it. And they don't even get that part of it.
You know, circling back to the small town theme of my book, if you go out to small towns and you start talking to people, and there's some community gathering, maybe it's in a tavern, maybe it's in a restaurant at a fish fry or something. You start talking to people, and they start expressing this mistrust or these concerns about the election. And almost always there's been some local clerk there that said, wait a second, I'm the one who's doing this. I'm administering the election and overseeing the counting of votes. I'm your neighbor. And they go, well, we're not talking about you.
See?
And we've got this decentralized system where there are all these people in local neighborhoods doing this this duty.
Wow.
And they're doing it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mike.
We are out of time. Thanks.
Serious stuff. All this serious stuff. I'm so tired of all the debate and the election and.
Okay. Yeah,
Just have fun. It's our anniversary.
We really cut the fluff.
Stephanie Miller is coming next tomorrow. Our Halloween special, including Busted Pencils and John Zumbrunnen from Badgers Boating. We hope you have a great day. Thanks for the one-year anniversary special. All your texts and phone calls, we appreciate it. Talk to you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.